God never called men to be great. He only called them to follow Him. He simply said, "Follow me." Each week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Well, hello, another beautiful Sunday morning to you, and thank you for letting me come into your homes for the next 30 minutes with Something to Believe In, whether it's in the convalescent home, the penitentiaries, wherever you are today, that we might minister to you. I am Reverend Tommy Mounts, and we will be telling you just a little bit later on about our ministry, but we certainly do love you. We appreciate you, and we're so glad that you're going to allow me for the next 30 minutes to be part of your Sunday morning, getting you ready for the house of God. After all, you know, this is the day the Lord hath made. This is the Lord's day. And we need to go out and show God that we love Him, we appreciate Him, and most of all, just kind of fellowship with the saints of God. All right, let's get into our first song today. And I just feel led to start this one right off today with a song that we've been singing. And I love it because it's got a great message. It said, "You made it rain just for me."
Let me down a country road to teach my feet to stand. Then you led me through the valley low so that I would hold your hand. Then all the rain told my eyes to see. Like the flower, the rain helped me to grow. And you made it rain for me. Well, we've been walking many, many miles. You have never failed. Through flame and flood, I walk with you on the stormy gale. No matter where your steps may go, wherever they for me. You hold the clouds with your hands to hide the light of day, so that I've learned to trust in you all along the way. And Lord, I won't question tears I've cried, fall down on bended knee. For when my soul gets thirsty, Lord, you make it rain for me.
Well, we never do that song, what we don't think about my old friend, Brother Ed Dixon, who's done gone home to be with the Lord. Let's remember his daughter, Libby. And we did that at his birthday just before his passing. So we're always remembering our friends and those who have gone on. Let's remember our second shut-in today, Ethel Coulter, Margaret Higginbottom. Then I was thinking about Catherine Mathis, up around Forest Hill, and then my good friend Jack Reed. And we've got so many people that listen to the broadcast. We certainly do appreciate that. And we thank you for just tuning our way, because that's very important to the radio ministry. Also, into our website ministry. I'll be telling you more about that just a little bit later on. We are on 990 AM, but they went streaming audio. And we're also being able to being picked up there on the website, and we're excited about that. Our radio ministry is really doing great. Through your help and through your support, everything is really doing good, and we certainly do appreciate it. We just hope now that we are retired that the people will continue to support us. Now, we will be repastoring. We'll be going to the Painter James Charge, and that's located up in Speedway and also True. We'll be starting up there on the 24th. We'll be starting there at Painter's at 11 a.m. service on the 24th, and then over at True at the James Chapel. We'll be there at 9 a.m. that morning. So we'll be starting a brand new work there, and we'll be living here in Hinton. We'll be going up that way and preaching to the people. Looking forward to meeting a lot of new people, maybe some folks up around the Princeton area and Athens around in there that's heard our broadcast, and maybe they'll come out and be with us. But we certainly do appreciate the folks where we have pastored. We were at Linside for 10 years, and then we retired, but now we're pastoring this one part-time in a means, but nevertheless, we're trying to be full-time for the Lord. So we want you to pray for us and maybe come out and meet us. We'll be looking forward to seeing Charles and Becky. Lily lives up that way in the Pipestem area, and some of the other folks. So let's go right back right now and do a song for you. And I hope you enjoy this song I've been doing for quite a while. It said, "Thanks to Calvary, things are different."
Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw some old friends that I used to know. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, "Thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tear flows down my face, I try to tell them, Calvary, I don't come here anymore." Then I went back to the place where I used to live. My little boys, they ran to hide behind the door. I said, "Boys, you don't have to run and hide from your daddy anymore, because you see, you've got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, he don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, you know, things are different than before. And as the tears flows down my face, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore.
Let's read today in John 21, verse 15 down through verse 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Then feed my lambs. Now he said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Then feed my sheep. You know, this is a startling question that Jesus would ask Peter, such a tremendous question, but it's a very important question. Because, you see, this word love to a lot of people is really not genuine love. It may look like love. It may act like love. It may pretend to be love. But is it real? And that brings me the thought today to speak to you on what I would call phony love. No wonder that two out of three marriages are not working today, because maybe they just thought they were in love. And, you know, when we're serving God, and maybe there's a lot of people, and I'd like to use the word maybes because I'm not the judge, I'm not the jury. I just have my own feelings, I have my own convictions. I can't have your feelings, I can't have your convictions, and I know how I feel, but I just can't know exactly how you feel. But I believe that when it comes to God, that we need to have a real, a genuine love. Not only a love for God, but when it comes to our fellow man, we need to have a real, genuine love. You remember the Bible said, how can you say you love God in whom you have not seen, if you have not love for the brother in whom you have seen? So this word love is examined around the throne room of God. God intends for us to love. In John 3:16, the Bible said, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's what Jesus came for. Jesus came in a time of bitterness. He came in a time of hate when people were enemies. People didn't speak to each other. People didn't like each other. And Jesus told him, he said, I say not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but he said, love your enemies and love those who despitefully use you. And you know, that's a hard thing to do today. We've got more hate and bitterness in this old world than we've ever had. People are looking for love, but they're looking in the wrong places. So Jesus is going to deal with Peter, because it's very important that Peter learns to love. He needs to learn to love because Jesus called him by his given name. He said, Hey, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. Then he said, Then you got to feed my sheep. You know, today, if you're going to love God's people and to be able to feed God's people, you got to love them. There's no way that you can feed people if you don't love them. You remember that Jesus said to Peter, when Peter said, Now, Jesus, I don't care what you do and what you're going to have to do, I'm going to do it with you. But Jesus said, Peter, don't you know that before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times? Now, Peter didn't realize that he would do that. And, you know, it was the love test that was going to be made in Peter's life. And sure enough, in John 18 and verse 27, it said, And the cock crowed. And Peter had denied his Lord. He said, I don't know him. I don't even know the man. I don't associate myself with the man. But you see, Jesus had reason to doubt the love of Peter. And you know, a lot of things that we do in our life gives God the reason to doubt our real, genuine, true love. Because Peter had told him, Yes, Lord, I love you. And Lord, I'm going to follow you to the end of the world. And oh, how many times have we heard that? Maybe there's someone listening to me right now who has made the same statement and said, Lord, I don't care what others are going to do. I'm going to follow you until the day I die. But all of a sudden, something happened. Well, maybe it was just not genuine, real love. Maybe it's just old phony love. And And Peter is going to learn the love test because, you see, this will be a divine test. Do you really love Jesus? Is there things in our lives that would cause Jesus to doubt our love? Would Jesus call us a phony Christian? After the fall of Peter, Jesus is not saying to Peter, "Hey, Peter, how much did you cry? How much time did you say you were sorry?" Jesus was not really interested in that. Jesus was simply saying to Peter, "Peter, you're going to have to learn to be genuine. You're going to have to learn to love me." And Jesus asked Peter, said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said in verse 15, "If so, then feed my lambs." You see, before Jesus would turn his lambs over to Peter, he had to know that he loved him. And you know, when we become shepherds and pastors, and I hope that I'm preaching to pastors out there, when we become shepherds and pastors, then we got to love Jesus' people. Now, it's not always easy to love everybody. I mean, there's some people, boy, I mean, I find it hard to love. As a matter of fact, they won't even want you to love them. They don't even want to let you love them. But you've got to love them. I don't care what they've done to you. He said, "Pray for those that despitefully use you. If they smite you on one cheek, turn to them the other cheek. If they ask you to go a mile, then go 2 miles." You know what he's trying to say? Is love is the key that wins the people to the heart and the soul of the pastor. So, pastor, you got to be more loving. You've just got to love when you don't feel like love. Love when you don't, when it's not acted like love, then act like love anyhow. Let love act in your life. And Jesus had a great love for his lamb, because if you don't love Jesus, you won't love his lambs. If you do not love Jesus, you'll never love the souls of men. And you know, I love the souls of men. I understand people. I try not to be judgmental. I try not to be hypocritical. I understand their ways. It's hard. I mean, sometimes it becomes hard to be a Christian. Sometimes it becomes hard to be the person that God is wanting us to be, but we must stay loving within our spirit. In verse 16, if we're going to love the Lord, we're going to have to tend to the sheep. He said, "Yea, Lord, you know that I love you." And always remember, God knows whether you love him or not. He knows whether your love is genuine or not. And he knows if your love is genuine for the saints of God. In verse 17, he said, "Then feed my sheep again." Some sheep are starving spiritually. You know, when I'm preaching to people, and I know that the saints of God should rejoice because sins have been forgiven. And we must preach on sin. We must tell people that hell is hot and heaven is beautiful. And eternity is beckoning and eternity is waiting. We're going to spend someplace in eternity because it's appointed unto man once to die, then after death the judgment. And people today are starving spiritually. Hey, this old world needs love, but they're looking for love in all the wrong places. We have a teenage problem. They're looking for love. We have drug problems. They're looking for love. The homosexual, hey, they're looking for love, but they're looking for love in all the wrong places. Man, Jesus said, cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. For you see, for the place that you will have to go, phony love will not take you. And believe you me, in your Christian experiences, you are going to face things that are going to have to be real and going to have to be genuine. Peter is being prepared for a great sermon to be preached at Pentecost. And one sermon, and Peter is going to see 3,000 people won to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're going to have to see a real person with real love and a genuine message before they're going to repent and turn to God. At the house of Cornelius, the Holy Ghost fell, and the whole entire house was filled because now Peter is speaking love. Peter is experiencing love, and Peter's great opportunity to now preach is flowing with love from his soul to their soul, and now they are repenting. Even in the prisons of Jerusalem, Peter is still experiencing the love experience, and that love experience is reaching across even out of the prisons to the other cellmates that are there with him. And then finally it takes him to the cross. Sir, that's when it's got to be genuine, because now you're getting ready to change worlds. And listen, no longer can we be a phony, because as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. All the things we've said, now we've got to mean, because now eternity is beckoning. God is just beyond the next breath. And are we a phony? What would your answer be if Jesus said unto you today, do you really love me? Hey, I want to give you a love test today. Are you willing to take the love test? Here's what the Bible said about real, genuine love, found in 1 Corinthians 13:1 through verse 13, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. It will not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. In verse 5, does not behave unruly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, it thinks no evil. In verse 6, does not rejoice in sin, but rejoices in the truth. In verse 7, it bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. And in verse 8, love never fails. And today, are we really genuinely in love with God? Do we really love God, or is our love a...
He molded and built a small lonely hill that he knew would be called Calvary. Then he made the seed that would grow to be thorns that would make his son bleed. Then he made a greeting, gave it leaves, and then gave it sunshine and rain, sheltered it with calm. He grew the tree, he knew the thing, used to make the aura of its cross. Nothing took his life, with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created with great love for man. God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. With tears in his eyes, God looked down through time, saw him spit upon, rejected and mourned. Oh, still he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged the old rugged
You know, I was sitting here thinking while that song was playing about our good friend, Brother Ben Payton. I know that many of you hear Brother Ben Payton here on WGLS at 8 o'clock each Sunday night. And then he is out of Nares on the AM station, the same station I'm on. Matter of fact, he comes on just before I do at 8:30. And this is Harry Payton's boy and son. And Ben does a marvelous job. And I tell you, he may be just a little bit modest and not tell you about this, but he did have surgery last week. But he's doing much better. So if you're hearing his broadcast, why don't you just drop him a card? I know that he would certainly enjoy that. Just listen to his broadcast, get his address, and drop him a card and tell him that you heard that he had had some surgery and that you're praying for him. I know that he would appreciate it. Ben's been a great friend of ours, and we'll be involving ourselves with him again down on the Greenbrier River here in about August, camp meeting. And, well, we've been associated with the Paytons for many, many years. So if you do that, I just feel like he certainly would appreciate it. Why don't you come and be with us? That'll be the grand opening for us there at the Painter's Chapel on the 24th, and at True at the James Chapel at 9 o'clock, then Painter's at 11. And I'll tell you, we had a great church as we pastored. We met a lot of great friends up that way and people who helped us to keep this broadcast going, and we certainly did appreciate them. And we're thinking about all of you. Without you, this broadcast would not be possible. We're going to try to spend the rest of our life trying to tell people there's something to believe in, not only telling them that there's something to believe in, but showing them that there's something to believe in. So we've got to leave the air now. Will you pray for us, Martha and I?
As I stood beside the bedside of the one I love so dear, my sorrow was lifted by words that I still hear. Her hands, they make a gesture. Her voice was so very weak. She motioned me closer, then she starts to speak. Oh, I want you to miss me, in a way, I suppose. But just don't worry that time comes and goes. We'll have a great reunion, and oh, what a thrill. When we cross that final homecoming just beyond that last hill. Let the hand of death beckon. Well, I'm not afraid. The victory is mine over death and the grave. I've lived for the Master. I've walked in His will. I'm ready to meet Him just beyond the last hill. I've served Him with patience, like He told me to do. And in spite of all my trials, I've always been true. Now it's just about over, and I know it's His will. And I can see the last sunset just beyond the last hill. But that last hill is nothing with the Lord by my side. Just a few steps together, then my soul will take its flight. Already the angels are circling my bed, and the great light is shining just over my head. And I sense a death angel, but I have no fear. For music from heaven already I hear. So don't weep for me, dear children, when my body lies still. For heaven is just yonder, just beyond the last hill. Now who's that coming to meet me in a robe white as snow? Why, I think it's Jesus, and I'm so anxious to go. There's a voice sweetly calling, and I bend to His will. Now the sun's going down, just beyond the last hill. Now, what's that He's saying? Oh, could I be insane? Why, He's holding a crown and He's calling my name. Oh, my heart leaps with gladness. My soul does it thrill. For I've made my last journey. I've climbed my last hill.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at the same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. And as we leave you today, always remember there is something to believe in.